Vincent Papa, thank you to be with us today.
Thank you.
You are the Director of Financial Reporting Policy at CFA Institute. We are talking with you about maybe the main issue in Europe, but maybe in the world at the moment, about the banking system and how maybe the new rules bank can, we can say, avoid the risk adverse, but can change things. What do you think about the banking system in Europe, about transparency?
Right. You've mentioned, you know, the whole connectedness between banks and the economic environment, and that being a key issue across the world. So obviously a key issue is the whole banking and sovereign nexus, so the interplay between risk exposures that exist within the banks and how this is being closely related with what's going on, you know, with government bonds. Now, it's important to address this particular issue, you know, the sovereign risk issue, but there's a whole other raft of regulatory reforms which are also important to pay attention to. So reforms related to capital adequacy, also trying to resolve the issues around the liquidity of banks, and in broader terms, also to deal with the risk exposures which arise from the financial instruments that are used by banks. So at this point in time, there's a focus on specific issues, but attention also needs to be paid on what could be issues in the long run. So when you think about financial instruments, for example, such as derivatives, there are various risks associated with these instruments, and regulators need to get a handle on this as well and to ensure that they fix all the issues related to this kind of instruments and transparency around them.
Mm-hmm. We have seen the new rules, new regulation about Basel III, Solvency II, coming in a crisis moment, in fact. So new rules, new reglementation, as some bankers say, it's hard to do it at this moment. But how this new regulation change the way investor can show the bank can have more transparency?
Yeah, this regulation in many instances is warranted. So, for example, one understands Basel III is trying to ensure that you've got global comparability on capital adequacy provisions that are being made. But the main challenge tends to be whether companies actually adopting these measures on a consistent basis. So companies or the various banks, but also across countries. So when you look at banks, for example, when you look at risk-weighted assets, which are really driven by regulatory requirements of Basel III and Basel II as well, there's still a challenge of ensuring that the risk-weighted assets that are being reported are being done on a consistent and comparable basis. And therein lies the challenge, because investors in many cases struggle to really be able to trust, for example, in the risk-weighted assets. So if you look, for example, you find that many investors are still paying attention to the tangible equity as opposed to the risk-weighted capital that's being provided. And this is a reflection of the lack of trust in the risk-weighted assets that are being reported. So the challenge would be to ensure that whatever is being promulgated is being implemented on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm. The situation, the crisis situation in Europe, particularly with the sovereign debt, was an issue for a bank, because we saw ECB giving money, but the bank bought immediately sovereign debt. So it's not it's an issue for the whole economy, all European economy. So how can it change?
So indeed, you're now mentioning the long-term refinancing option, which flooded liquidity to the market, and banks really latched onto this option. But in many cases, they were still investing in sovereign risk, and sovereign bonds. So there's still the question of what's the interplay between funding and asset quality. That's yet to be fully resolved. But when you're thinking about funding, the LTRO was one option. There are broader range of issues across the funding risk issues. So you got money from the European Central Bank, but there's also been a trend of banks having short-term financing and short-term funding. And this has been part of the systemic risk issues, because banks had assets of poor asset quality, yet this was financed by short-term liabilities. This is an issue that needs to be fixed as well. There are measures, imagine, that are being taken by the regulators. So, for example, the focus on liquidity coverage ratios, which are trying to encourage the banks to have a more of a longer horizon view as far as their funding is concerned, will hopefully help, you know, in terms of altering the business model such that these banks will be less risky.
Mm-hmm. In your view, do you think that we have in Europe to move on other system. We saw in US some rules, Volcker rules. We saw Vickers in UK. So this kind of things, it's important to the banking system that they imagine a new system.
You see, the jury is out really on many of these reforms. So you've mentioned the Volcker rule, which is really looking at decoupling the various business segments that may exist within a bank. So getting away the casino business, away from the more proprietary trading type business. And that could be a step in the right direction. But the jury is out as to how effective this will ultimately be. And from where we're coming from as CFA Institute, we're really paying attention as to whether there'll be transparency, regardless of the underlying business model. So whether you've got a combined business model under the universal bank, or whether there's a different organizational structure, the key question is, what will be the consequence of this? Will banks be more transparent as a result? And it's difficult to make a judgment at this stage, because lots of proposals on the table in terms of what needs to be done with relation to banks. And you've touched on the Volcker rule as one example.
Mm-hmm. About this transparency, do you think in 2012 that we have more transparency now than before the crisis, or we are at the same level, in fact?
When you think about transparency, there are many things you need to pay attention to. So there is transparency around what's reflected in the main financial statements. So the balance sheet, the income statement, the quality of earnings that are reflected. And this in part is driven by the extent and the speed at which banks actually write off impaired assets. And the fact that we are yet to fully complete the updated standard on impairments of financial assets. So complete the definition of the financial asset impairment standard and to implement it. That means that that's still an ongoing problem in terms of the recognition and measurement. That said, there's some measures that have been taken, so for example, by the Financial Stability Board, which has proposed some disclosures to improve transparency around key risks. But these really deal with the risks that currently have been identified as key. So a couple of years ago, it was subprime exposures. Now we know it's sovereign risk exposures. The main challenge will be to ensure that forward-looking risks are being reflected. So we're dealing with today's problem and yesterday's problem. How do we make sure we're dealing with tomorrow's risks? And this is where the regulators need to put their efforts towards ensuring that they've got an identification system to identify tomorrow's risks and ensure that the banks are reporting these on a timely basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can say that to have more confidence in the economy, you have to have more confidence in banks. To finish, do you think that transparency, it's key in the situation. The banks have to do more efforts on that. If not, the consumer confidence will stay at a low level.
Absolutely, transparency is really important, also from an investor standpoint. You know, in terms of fulfilling their market discipline mandate, and also to ensure that they are allocating capital to these banks appropriately. And also really paying attention to return on equity on a risk-adjusted basis. So if you've got a situation where investors are not fully understanding the risk profile of banks, so for example, in the past, the banks were heavily leveraged, and this was something that wasn't being paid sufficient attention towards. Another factor you need to consider as well in the past was the exposures that the banks had, for example, in relation to credit default swaps, where they were writing protection or selling protection. Investors weren't necessarily familiar on the aggregate exposures that individual financial institutions had. So this appreciation of the entire risk, and then looking at that vis-a-vis the profit you're getting from the banks, and then seeing whether that profit is enough for the risk that's being provided. So in the absence of good disclosures, that will remain a challenge for investors, and the capital allocation will not be optimal.
Thank you, Vincent Papad, to have been with us today.
Thank you.